This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Tigers have now won back-to-back series. Tigers take 2 of 3 from Chicago. They win 1-0 yesterday. And we're asking people, do you feel any better? Do you feel any better? How would you characterize your feelings? And, I mean, look, you want them to hit on all cylinders and look great in every facet of the game. And offensively, in their 2 wins, they scored 3 runs. But the pitching and defense was really, really good. And, you know, they took 2 of 3 from the Angels, and the Angels then went and proceeded to sweep the Dodgers. And the Dodgers, who are still the favorite to win the World Series, they have blown a 9-game lead in just over a month's time. And they are now a second-place team behind the Padres in the NL West.
Why is anybody talking about that?
Well, I'm sure they are in Los Angeles. And in some ways, they're probably feel worse in that they've put together a roster where the expectation from day one is World Series or bust, right?
Yeah.
And now they're, you know, losing a 9-game lead and being a second place team, not good. But I'm not saying that for any other reason than just to point out seasons are long, there's ups and downs. I think the Dodgers are going to be fine, okay? They're really, really talented. And the crazy thing is they're about as healthy as they've been in a while. They got Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow back. Blake Tryon is back, a big bullpen arm that they've got, and yet here they are getting swept. It happens. Like, it's standard operating procedure even for very good teams. But, hey, I know that might not help people. It might. But we're just asking you, do you feel any better? 248-539-9797. We did observe some 7-on-7s in front of us with the Lions defense going against the Dolphins offense. I'll say it looks like the Dolphins are operating at a higher rate of efficiency today.
I think that's safe to say, yeah.
There's some back and forth, but yeah, it wasn't total domination in this first session.
No, I saw Tua make a couple of plays, and I saw the Lions get flagged for at least 2 PI calls in the end zone. One I thought was a little tight there. It was a nice play by the defensive back that doesn't get credit for. That would have been, I think it was Hallett. It was a safety. I thought made a nice play, but they threw a flag on it. But nonetheless, what we expected was going to happen today, I think, was that simply Miami's going to show up a little more intensity. And I think to this point, that's been the case. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and as to be expected. So, yeah, now they're doing 11-on-11 on both sides. The Lions' offense is over here practicing inside their own 5-yard line, coming out of their own red zone. Meanwhile, the Dolphins full field coming towards us. It's full offense versus full defense. And it's ones versus ones out there. And the Dolphins have, first play, they ran a quick bubble screen for a reasonable gain. Now they're lined up again. I'll keep my eye on Hutch. And there was Davenport on the other side there. What was it, Dan Miller's line today? He's moving people. Now he's in the backfield, and there he would have had a sack. Davenport just totally beat a guy and would have had a sack on Tua if they allowed quarterbacks to get hit.
But they don't do that.
No, they don't.
Not here, not now.
Nope. But he totally beat a guy.
Lions just tried a running play that went nowhere. There was a flag on the play, and I think it was against the Miami, actually. So
was it?
So they got that going for him.
Gotcha.
Which is nice.
248-539-9797. Ticket text to the same number. We're just asking, are you feeling better? It was a series win. It wasn't total domination. That's back-to-back series wins. Tiger fans, are you feeling better? 248-539-9797. From an unnamed texter, nope. Don't feel one bit of confidence with them. As I said, they will not win the Central. They'll be lucky if they make it past the wild card round. Well, this person didn't sign their text, so I don't know who you are or what you said in the past. sometimes some names will stick with us, but this person is not feeling any better.
No. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better because I actually think it's a strength that they win games when not everything's clicking. They don't need everything to be clicking to win games and win series. And that's a sign to me of a really good team. But, you know, the lead is comfortable-ish.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's been kind of hanging out here for a while, but the longer it hangs out, the less and less likely Cleveland's going to catch them.
I feel slightly better after the series win over the White Sox, and the slightly is it's based on the pitching. I think the back end of that is good. I think it's a good hand. And seeing Melton and Sawyer Gibson Long, the fabled Sawyer Gibson Long,
we didn't believe he existed.
Both pitched really well. So that is a step in the right direction. I think we're happy about that. A lot of whistles going on.
Yeah.
A lot of whatnot.
I mean, it wasn't just the two of them, right? It was Finnegan and Will Vest.
Yeah. And like I said, the back end, I'm not concerned about. That has not concerned me even a little bit because I think that Kyle Finnegan is perfect for this.
And it was kind of weird. Like, Will Vest looked like he couldn't find the strike zone. He got three outs. Guys chased pitches out of the strike zone, which is part of it. You don't need to pipe it right down the middle. But
well, his fastball sets everything else up because it's such a good fastball, and people start keying on that. Then you can work your secondary pitches that are dropping off the plate and can't catch up to him.
Next one. I feel better after yesterday's win to the lowly White Sox.
Uh-oh.
What do we got?
Oh, we got a scrap.
Oh, we got a full-on Donnybrook.
There are punches
being thrown, and that Skipper's is Dan Skipper.
Skipper lost his helmet.
Yeah,
and lost his cool.
Yep, that was full-on. That was a boxing match in the middle of that. You usually see pushing and shoving. Maybe guys end up on the ground. There were straight-up punches being thrown.
And that's a was backup quarterback in there. Kyle Allen was in there. However, it was the first unit offensive line.
Was it? Because Skipper was out there.
I thought I saw Ratledge. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Ratledge is out there too, but I think he's just getting more reps.
Well, Skipper's going to sit this next one out. They've pulled him back behind Dan Campbell, as now they're doing inside the red zone with twos versus twos. And Kyle Allen, a quarterback, and all right. Surveys the defense. He's going to take this snap from under center. Scott Anderson turns, and he's going to roll out. Now he hands it off up the middle, and did he get to the end zone? I don't think he did. Dolphins get a stop on that play.
Well, on the other side, as Zach Wilson was surveying the field himself, dropped back, looking to his right, looked like he was sacked. They didn't blow whistle, then threw the ball late and sailed it out of bounds. There is a flag on the play. And it looks like it's they're calling defensive holding or pass interference or something against the defense again.
Which is something Sean Dion Hamilton, the linebacker coach, told us earlier. He doesn't want to see as much of that today.
I don't think he's giving us a thumbs up right now.
I don't think so either. Let's get back to your phone calls. Open lines. Mark's in New Jersey, and he's on 97 on a ticket. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how we doing today? I want to talk about how I'm feeling about the Tigers.
Okay.
First off, I'm like, my glass is always half full, but am I happy about the last two series wins? Yes, of course I am. But beating Chicago the way we did, I mean, come on, Doug, you and I can get a team together to beat Chicago.
No, you can't.
The rain delay game, I mean, I saw something from Gleyber Torres, that play when he was going to second, we were staging that late inning rally.
Yeah.
He was assuming the play was going to first, and he just kind of trotted. Not that Gleyber Torres is some speedster. But it just looked to me on the wide-angle camera that he had a really good shot at getting into second safely and keeping that alive. That would have been nice to come back to. But I just don't feel like we're grinding out the at-bats like we were earlier in the year. We're not working the pitch counts in our favor. I'm just not seeing the little things that we're doing now that we were doing earlier.
Well, there's some truth to that. I agree with you with the remark about Gleyber Torres. Saw the same thing. He definitely slowed up going into the second base, and had he been going full bore, he would have been there and would have kept that inning going. But I think sometimes when those things happen at this point in the season, it can be a good thing too, because if we're seeing it, you know who else is seeing it? A.J. Hinch. And I'm damn sure that he's going to bring that up with the team as well, that these are the dog days of the season.
Yeah.
We want to get to the final push. You don't want to slip. There's only 40 games left. You got a 6.5-game lead. Nothing is given to you. You have to go out and continue to take, and earn your spot. And I think these are all really good lessons that they can learn.
I got to tell you, I mean, getting outs when they should when they're in the field and getting extra 90 feet when they can was a hallmark of the first half of the season. And there is some slippage in that area. But, hey, look, man, long season, lots of ebbs and flows, ups and downs. How do you feel about the Tigers after winning back-to-back series and what Kang facetiously called this most recent one, the least confidence-building series win in the history of Tiger baseball? 248-539-9797 from Lions Training Camp at the Meyer Performance Center here in Allen Park. Here on 97.1, the ticket. Hey, on Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel's Futures Day. That is the day they are directing you to get your future bets in. So go do your research now and figure out what future bet you might want to consider, whether it be our hometown team to win the Super Bowl or win the division or an MVP. I cough it, 35-1. And on Futures Day, those odds could get better. 24-hour deals on all your favorite football season predictions or parlays or division winners or dark horses, whatever you want. That's August 26. It's your day for your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and your odds. Visit FanDuel or FanDuel.com or visit the app today and start planning your futures bets now. Because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, play your game. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Talking both Lions and Tigers today, as one would expect, given that we are at Detroit Lions training camp. And our football coverage here on 97.1 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, so before the show, we speculated that the Dolphins might be bouncing back today, and they are. We've also seen now three separate fights.
Oh, yeah.
One was a heck of a Donnybrook involving Dan Skipper. The other, with the Lions defense, there's been quite a bit of pushing and shoving with the Dolphins offense.
Rock Yassin for the Lions, the defensive back, he was getting into it. And getting into it with offensive linemen. Like, these linemen are doing a good job, at least for the Dolphins, of continuing to block downfield.
Yeah.
And that is taking some players have taken umbrage with that.
Yeah.
I think the Dolphins are also upset because they see 97 in the backfield on a consistent basis. I mean, Hutch is always there.
Yeah.
The other side, watching the Lions offense, it's a well-oiled machine.
They were
doing goal line stuff, and it was – taking candy from a baby. Goff throwing it. He threw one pass to David Montgomery, easy touchdown. Another pass to Jameson Williams, easy touchdown. And there's some John going out there. I mean, J-Mo's been John both days, and he's continuing to jaw. And obviously what's going on the defensive side, it's a very spirited practice as we thought it would be.
Yep. And, yeah, probably the number one takeaway when I'm walking away from here, when we're done this week, it's a reminder, because we haven't gotten that reminder this year because we haven't seen the starters. It's a reminder. This offense is really good.
It is.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And it's really good, and they got different pieces in there on the offensive line, but it doesn't stop the offense from running well. And they're doing a great job. I've talked to two former Detroit Lions in the last 2 days. Both have had a same comment. Yesterday was William Gay, the defensive lineman, and said, man, no fights.
Yeah.
As he's, you know, leaving, there were a couple fights that happened right at that point. Rob Rubick just came by, and he said, hey, any fights yet?
That's funny.
And I said, yeah, it's starting to get exciting. He's like, man, game week. That's what it's all about. Like, yep.
All right. Feedback coming in regarding the Tigers. We're just asking fans. Look, this is back-to-back series wins. They're you know, offensively, the two wins in Chicago were nothing to behold. These aren't, you know, you're not going to use this as an example of how good the offense can be, but they are back-to-back series wins. Are you feeling any better? Chris in Rochester says, I feel better after yesterday's win to the lowly White Sox, all part of the fact that one of our rising stars pitched a gem, and our bullpen did not choke. Our bats are less of a concern to me than pitching. So, yes, pitching was strong, as was our defense. I feel better. John and Fenton, Tigers feeling better but not confident. They put three more games behind them, winning two of three. That means the Guardians have fewer opportunities to catch the Tigers, but anything can happen. Do not like the fact that AJ is still trying to figure out our pitching staff this late in the season. Not a good sign. From John and Fenton. Well, no, it's not. What is intriguing is that there are options. Like Melton right now is making a case. How they use Melton will be interesting because there's probably a number that they don't want him to go beyond in terms of innings pitched. But if you get to the postseason and he's still out there pitching well, screw the number. You're trying to win a World Series, right?
Yes.
But that might mean you're going to spot start him the rest of the way to minimize the taxing on his arm between now and the postseason. If, you know, I know there's some people saying, if you get there, got it. But there's a fine line of massaging his innings, rationing them, still trying to make sure you get there and you get one of the top two seeds, but also have him ready to go for postseason play too, right?
Exactly. I mean, you've looking at what this team has with the rotation, you've got Scooble, who you know.
Yep.
You're hopeful that Mize is going to be consistent. Jack Flaherty is up in the air right now because it's not been great starts from Jack Flaherty lately, but slightly encouraging with what we saw the other day. I mean, he got hit, but they were the softest hits you'll ever see. And then you've got some sort of combination after that with Morton, Melton, and Paddock, and Gibson Long. I think there's four pitchers there that can get the two rotational spots and do some sort of combination of it. And maybe that's exactly what happens with rationing the innings for Melton, is because you've got these other guys you can go to.
By the way, out on the field right now, a lot of special teams work between these two teams. A lot of kickoff return and kick coverage for both the Lions and the Miami Dolphins. From Jordan and Petoskey, hey guys, I love the show. I feel a bit better having Finnegan being able to accept the eighth inning role. Vest has been dominant in the ninth, but horrible in the eighth. That's from Jordan and Petoskey. Yeah, his numbers between the eighth and ninth have been different. You know, I mean, it's one of those weird subtleties of the game. Why? You know, if it's a high leverage situation, it's late in the game, there's pressure, right?
Correct.
There's pressure no matter what. If it's the eighth or the ninth,
well,
in a tight game, but
and Hinch doesn't really care who's labeled a closer. He wants, you know, he's going to put the guys out there, the best matchup for the team, whoever's pitching the eighth and ninth inning. It's not set in stone. So, I mean, it'd be great if Vest could go out there in the eighth inning and just have the mindset that it's the ninth or whatever the case is. I've been encouraged with how Will Vest has kind of turned things around the last few outings for him, but Kyle Finnegan's been great. He's found that the right mix of pitches to throw. You know, he was good to very good with Washington before he came over here. I know the ERA was elevated, but it was just literally a handful of bad outings. And he had 40 outings with that team. 31 of them were scoreless. So coming to the Tigers, he's been very good at this point.
He has, and it's funny because the perception at the time was they didn't do enough. If people knew that they had a lockdown guy in the eighth inning, that they got that back. I just don't think people knew Kyle Finnegan well enough. You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. And it also was just the disappointment that people wanted others to be traded to the Tigers at that time, and they weren't.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Do I feel better? Why do you even have to ask that question? This is it. These are the Tigers we see. This is who they are. Since the All-Star break, since the deadline, it hasn't gotten any better. They barely win a game against a horrible team, 1-0 game. They win without power. Yeah, they won the game, but they're weak. And everybody sees that, and Hinch has to play chess every time to barely squeak out a win. You guys are nuts if you think they're going to win anything this year. They're terrible. They've lost a huge lead. They've got nothing. That's from Paul and Ipsy.
J-Mo.
J-Mo just scored a touchdown.
Deep okay. pass.
Yeah.
Had the guy beat by two steps at least, and it was perfectly thrown.
Paul and Ipsy.
And that on the is other one, side.
That is one hell of a text message.
Well thrown ball. I think it was Jalen Waddle going deep there. They did not complete it.
I'm guessing you didn't hear pay any attention to that text message.
Not one bit. Sorry. Come back at me, Doug. What was that?
Do I feel better? Why do you even have to ask that question? This is it. These are the Tigers we see. This is who they are. Since the All-Star break, since the deadline, it hasn't gotten any better. They barely win against a horrible team. 1-0 games. They win without power. Yeah, they won the game, but they're weak, and everybody sees that, and Hinch has to play chess every time to barely squeak out a win. You guys are nuts if you think they're going to win anything this year. They're terrible. They've lost a huge lead. They've got nothing. That's from Paul and Ipsy.
So, Goff hit Jameson Williams on a deep pass for the touchdown. Look, that's not – I mean, fair enough. This guy's upset. He thinks I'm surprised it's not all caps the way that he was writing that. But, I mean, it's baseball. How many other teams are playing, like, the best of their capability at this point? You got the Brewers.
The Brewers are doing what the Tigers did earlier.
The Brewers,
right?
The Mariners, and the Blue Jays are kind of playing the best baseball right now. But teams that were really good – aren't playing their best baseball right now. The Mets, the Tigers, the Yankees, the Dodgers. You know, these are teams that aren't playing great. Even Houston is kind of calmed down. So, if the playoffs started tomorrow, I'd be concerned. But they don't. So, I'm not terribly concerned. They did win the series against the White Sox. I'm sorry they didn't sweep them or didn't score enough runs to your satisfaction. But, you know, Cleveland won their series against the White Sox as well. But they lost a game,
yeah.
You know, and Cleveland lost last night, and I guess people aren't as concerned about Cleveland maybe anymore. They're just worried about what the Tigers are doing.
Okay, we got ones versus ones going on in front of us. We'll get back to some Lions coverage as Lions just got a long run from David Montgomery offensively, defensively, incompletion on a deep ball for Miami. We'll tell you what we're seeing. 248-539-9797. It's getting good out here at Allen Park. Some football talk next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
All right, so a lot of 11-on-11 stuff going on right now, and I will say that the more practice goes on, the more impressed I am with the Lions' defense. I think they're getting more stops, forcing more incompletions. Offensively, it looks to me like the Dolphins' defense is putting up a bigger fight today against the Lions' offense, but I just watched a sequence of plays, deep ball to a incomplete, then Tua takes a sack, he has no one to throw to, eventually the pass rush gets to him. Incomplete out in the flat. Offensively, they're working in the red zone. It's ones versus ones, and the Lions haven't gotten it in the end zone yet. Now we got twos versus twos with Hendon Hooker at quarterback for the Detroit Lions, and it's hard to see from where we're standing, but hands it off up the middle, and it looks like he didn't get to the end zone. Dolphins defense has stepped up today. Lions offense is still really good, and they've completed some incredible passes earlier in the practice, but Lions defense looks good again.
Yeah,
another day.
They look devastatingly good. I mean, there have been some passes that get out and into the flat, and then they're able to turn it upfield and get some yards on it, but I'm not sure how many of those would have continued, you know, had they allowed an actual pass rush, because Hutchinson is in the backfield. I saw Reeder in the backfield as well. Both guys doing a great job. With the defense, it looks smothering. The only complaint that I have we're seeing a lot of yellow flags.
Yeah.
A ton of yellow flags. I don't know how many of them are honest, but they're out there, right? And I, you know, I think we expect to see more flags in a practice than the regular season, just because I think they're going to want to try to, you know, set a tone with what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. But nonetheless, the defense looks great. The offense has shown the ability to march down as well and score, not necessarily at will, but pretty close to it. I mean, what Goff is working out there, I don't know how many touchdown passes we've seen him throw. I mean, it's like a handful.
A lot more than the Dolphins have completed.
Absolutely, a lot more. And, yes, there have been some skirmishes here, and a lot of that is started off by Dolphin defenders wrapping up the Lions ball carriers.
Thud, right? They call it thud.
Yeah.
You bump into each other, but you don't fully tackle each other.
So whistle blows, and the play is over, and the Dolphin players, instead of just taking their hands off, they're throwing the player, trying to throw him to the ground in a lot of the cases, and that starts some scuffles. But it's fun. These guys love it. This is what they want.
Well, as you said, former players are asking if there have been any fights yet. So it's interesting that is a focal point for the guys who used to play. They're taking a break right now in front of us. That was quite a text we got there before the break. I'm going to sum it up with the last sentence or two. They're weak. Everybody sees it. You guys are nuts if you think they're going to win anything this year. They're terrible. They've lost a huge lead. They've got nothing. That's from Paul Nipsey regarding the Detroit Tigers. Big Benji in Detroit. And look, I mean, I don't know what Paul, when he gave up, when he pulled the plug on the season. They certainly aren't playing as well as they have. It's interesting, though. That is such a give-up mentality, and he has seen enough. Even though, you know, they've won back-to-back series, they got Scooble going tonight. They could be in a stretch where they win 5 of 7 if Scooble wins tonight. I mean, I guess it's not a given he's going to win, but you got to like the matchup. Bailey Ober, is that who he's going against, the guy they shelled
yes,
last week?
They absolutely shelled him. So yeah. It's I understand the concern. I have some concerns about this team as well, but fortunately they've got a while here to work out the issues that they have. But think about this, too. What a difference a couple of games would make. If the Tigers had held on and won one of those games in Philadelphia,
yeah,
you know, they did win one, but if they had won one other one, they would have won the series against a very good baseball team, and maybe that calms things down a little bit. And, you know, pick any other game in the last 20 that they didn't hang on and win. If you do, it looks a lot different. That's how important every game is, and this is why the 40-game sprint is vitally important.
Big Benji in Detroit, leave it to these gloomy-ass negative Detroit fans to be so pessimistic. Sounds like they have more confidence in other teams in this division than our own team. There is no history or evidence that shows we will lose this division. The Tigers will win the pennant, and these same fans will call back in and say, well, we got swept in the World Series. Go Tigers, go Lions, Super Bowl and World Series in the same year. That's from Big Benji in Detroit. Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that happens in sports talk radio, and I've noticed this through the years, is it becomes a battle of who has higher standards. And if you are judging them and the success and failure exclusively on whether or not they win the World Series, then there is a really good chance that they are going to fail, right? And that's there are certain times in certain organizations where it's championship or bust. I think the Lions have kind of gotten to the point where playoff wins are no longer the deal. I mean, they are sort of a championship or bust team. I don't know that the Tigers are there yet. I think the Tigers have they have a lot of young parts and a lot of potential in the organization. I want them to win. I think they got a shot to win the World Series. But if your standard is if they don't win the World Series, the season's a failure no matter what else happens, there's a good chance you're going to be right. There's a well better than 50-50 chance you're going
to
be right.
Yeah, and that's fine to have that standard, and it is what it is. But I think that more people bought in this team by the All-Star break because this was the best team in baseball, and they had done it for, you know, over 100 games at that point, you know, when you combined last year to this year. So when you see that kind of consistency, you're like, okay, it's okay to start thinking this is an outstanding baseball team that has a really good chance. And then the rest of the season starts to unfold, and now your confidence is shaking because you went there. You dared to dream, and now the dream doesn't look as strong. You know, it's not a nightmare by any means, but it's just not as strong as it was before. But they have time to turn that around and win people back.
Kitek on Twitch says, there is history and evidence. The 2006 Detroit Tigers blew the division and backed into the playoffs as a wild card. They went into the final week needing just one win to clinch, and they couldn't do it. And, of course, that team went to the World Series. And that's a great example of you just got to find a way to play your best when the games matter the most. And they did. They had that long break, and then I don't know if they crapped the bed. I felt like they crapped the bed in the World Series. But regarding Paul, Scott writes in 179 over 98.
Blood pressure?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
You want to go see somebody about that. Perhaps get involved with some medication.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's a little high.
Yeah. Look, it's a roller coaster ride, baseball seasons, aren't they? It is a roller coaster ride. And try to zoom out and see a big picture. The big picture isn't always pretty, and it's not – everything doesn't look great, but –
No, but it's been a better
week here.
You know, I think it's funny. There's so many things you can go back to that axioms in baseball or whatever, hard and fast rules people want to have. And one of the ones that gets cited all the time when you start a season is the Sparky Anderson 40-game mark.
Right.
Right? And where the Tigers were at that point. And then the Tigers got to 50 games and 60 games and 70 games. And all the comparisons were going back to the 84 Tigers that won the World Series. And, you know, people get really excited about that, and then when something threatens what they got excited about, we don't like that. Hey, they're not playing as well right now. No, they're not. But they did win last night. They did win a series. It's back-to-back series wins for this team. They got Skubal on the hill tonight. Gives them a great chance to win. If they do, it'll be, you know, 5-2 in their last 7 games.
Yeah.
So that would be nice. But go out there and do it. Get it done.
248-539-9797. Okay. Kang, I want to do the 10 text thing here. Gator thought earlier. Who did you think you saw?
Thought I saw Floyd Mayweather Jr.
It was off in the distance, so it was hard to tell, but it wasn't. But it was another kind of household name, right?
Yeah.
It was another name that most people have heard of. 10 texts right now. Who do you think? Who do you think Gator mistook for Floyd Mayweather Jr.? 248-539-9797.
You have no idea how glad I am I didn't say anything on the air about that. Or like, you know, hey, champ, come on over, you know? Oh, I'm so happy.
We'll take the 10 texts. Who do you think Gator thought was Floyd Mayweather Jr.? And I household name
oh,
in,
it's
Detroit?
A household.
In Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The name is.
Those are your clues. We'll take the first 10 texts, sign your name. We'll read the guesses on the air. Who did Gator think was Floyd Mayweather Jr.? 248-539-9797 from Lions training camp in Allen Park. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1.
Well, if you have pants on, training camp pants or not, it's hot. And
what?
You know what I'm saying? That's where you were going. It's hot out, right? It's hot and muggy, and you want your house to be nice, cool, and comfortable. The best thing you can do to ensure that happens is call the great folks over at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Call them today because they've been keeping homes in Southeast Michigan cool and comfortable for over 20 years. Whether you need a quick repair or a seasonal tune-up or a brand-new system, their expert team is fast, friendly, and local. Do not wait for a meltdown. Call Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling right now, or you can visit them at birminghamplumbingco.com. In fact, they're taking appointments right now on their website. So go ahead and send them that message at birminghamplumbingco.com. Schedule an appointment. That's birminghamplumbingco.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
All right, there are some great texts. Someone came close. I'm going to read these. And then, Gator, you reveal who you thought was Floyd Mayweather Jr. Gator saw Kevin Hart. That's from Bruno in Dearborn. Brian Chapman, that's from Chad in West Bloomfield.
Chappie's a big dude.
Big Sean, that's from John in Oak Park. Gator saw Lil Wayne, that's from Ben in Roseville.
A lot of big and little.
Colin says Morris Chestnut. Unnamed texter said Flava Flav. Gator thought Tyreek Hill was Floyd Mayweather. That's from Scott. Jared Goff, that's from Ryan.
Come on.
Gator saw Sweet Lou Whitaker, that's from Jeff. Ansa in Detroit says Barry Sanders. Todd in Ann Arbor says Jack White. Scott, you saw someone, you said, hey, is that Floyd Mayweather? It was not. When we saw closer, when you got closer.
When he came up closer, was grabbing something to drink, and I could see the name tag. I realized it was, and I knew as he was walking, I'm like, oh, that's not him. In fairness to me.
Yep. He was far away.
And Allende is here as our engineer, and he was looking over, and I made a move like, hey, isn't that, you know, and I do the boxing move, and he looks over, he's like, yeah. Kind of looked like him.
Yeah.
Not the need to drag him down with me. But, you know, from 25 feet away, the profile, I'm like, that's him. As he walked towards us, I realized, no, it's younger than that, and it can't be him. It was Barry Sanders Jr.
Gator.
It was Barry's kid.
I'm going to tell you, man, the last 2 days, your spotting ability has not been the best.
No. No. I felt good that I nailed, you know, William Gay was coming by. I'm like, that's William Gay. I know.
Former Lion.
Yeah, I know William Gay. Yep. That's him. I pointed out Rob Rubick. There's Rob. I saw Rob. Yep. You know. But so I got this one wrong. Way wrong. But in fairness, it looked like him from a distance.
So here's I actually kind of want to topic this a little bit. Did you ever mistake a celebrity for another celebrity?
Ish.
Right.
Celebrity,
yeah,
adjacent.
Yeah, and I think Barry Sanders Jr. is certainly, like I said, he's a household name.
Absolutely.
In Detroit. But the name is for sure. But did you ever mistake one celebrity for another celebrity? 248-539-9797. I bet there's some people that
100%
walked up to somebody, you know, hey, aren't you Axl Rose? Yeah, something. No.
I went up to a guy years ago, like it may have been like 1990-ish, something like that, 1989, 1990. I was at a wrestling match, the wrestling matches, at it was either Kobo or the Joe. And after the matches were done and everybody's cleared out of there, kind of, there were a couple people kind of straggling, hanging out. And I looked at this guy, and I knew who it was. It was a professional wrestler who wrestled locally, and his name was Chris Carter.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, man, are you Chris Carter? And he goes, no, I'm not. And he wanted nothing. Like, he didn't want to be recognized or anything. He's like, no. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're Chris Carter. And he's like, no, that's not it.
That's hysterical.
And then a guy he wrestled with all the time was walking by him. It was a guy who went by the name of Muhammad Saad. And I'm like, all right. You're right. You're not Chris Carter, and that's not Muhammad Saad. You're right. I got it. Sure. Fair enough. You know. Guy just did not want to be bothered. But have I ever, I don't think I've missed,
you
I'm
never
sure
misidentified. I got it,
but not to their face.
I don't know that I would put us in celebrity categories, but I was repeatedly mistaken for John Barry of the Pistons back in the goatee days.
Yeah, I could see
I
that.
I was repeatedly mistaken for John Barry. Hey, you're John Barry. I'm like, no, I'm not. But that happened a lot. By a lot, I mean at least twice. I think it might happen.
That's a lot.
Time. Yeah. 248-539-9797. You did hear a roar as we came out of the break. The Dolphins completed a touchdown pass in front of us.
The diving
and
catch.
And boy, did they celebrate it.
Yeah, the whole team came over.
Yep.
Both offense and defense.
Yep, so now we got a twos versus twos rep with Zach Wilson at quarterback. Inside the Lions' 10-yard line, Wilson under center, takes the snap. They're going to go toss, sweep right. Lions string it out. And knocked down short of the goal line at about the 3-yard line. Lions doing a good job stringing that play out, huh?
Yes.
Yep. So how would you describe Mike McDaniel over there and his clothing choice?
I'm trying to see where he is.
He's in the white hoodie walking away from us. It's the three-quarter length pants. See him? He's walking this way.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. I got you now. Well, that's odd.
The pants? The three-quarter length
pants? The whole look is, it's like young and hip.
Well, somebody sent over a text, and they wanted you to comment.
They're like, yeah. What do you call those pants that the old-time golfers used to wear?
Knickers?
Yeah.
They're like knickers, yeah.
Kind of like that.
I just want Gator to confirm Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel looks like a bougie and hipster in person. Does he look as much like a bougie and hipster in person as he does on TV?
Yeah, I expect him to have headphones in. Right?
What do you mean?
Like listening to music or something like that, because all the youngsters today walk around, they've got
they wear the headset.
Buds in or something.
Dolphins go wide receiver screen and touchdown.
Oh, bring out the whole team again.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yeah. No, they've been better today.
No, they've been better.
We kind of expected it. The Lions defense has had, and that's just twos versus twos, by the way. But the Lions defense has looked very good through much of the day. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson at the Allen Park headquarters of the Detroit Lions. And we are taking your calls. Tiger fans, are you feeling better about your team after winning another series in what Kang earlier in the show facetiously called the least confidence-building series win in the history of the Detroit Tigers organization? you know what it was, man? I mean, it was playing close games and not scoring. I think people would rather win 9-8 than 1-0. I think they'd feel better about 9-8 than 1-0. I wouldn't.
I mean,
but
like, there are reasons to be, upset and happy at the same time about both scores. Right? I was fine with yesterday, not thrilled with the offense only coming up with 5 hits, but absolutely thrilled that they held the White Sox to 2, given how well the White Sox have been playing lately. That offense has been a well-oiled machine for over 20 games now, and the Tigers pitchers cut them down with rookies, basically, with Melton and Surrey Gibson Long pitching the first 7 innings of shutout baseball, and then they were able to finish it off. Not insignificant.
No.
They were able to finish it off, despite the fact that the offense took the day off. The pitching was there for them, and so was the defense.
2-minute drill. Lions have the football from their own 48. Goff completes 1 short pass, now goes deep, looking for Khalif Raymond. It's almost picked off. Clock stops with 40 seconds to go. It's 3rd down and 4.
When in doubt, Doug? Who do you look for in this situation?
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
There
on 3rd down and 4. It's ones versus ones. 2-minute drill going on right in front of us. With the score, it says 24-20, so I'm going to assume that the Lions are trailing. Yeah. 40 seconds to go.
Need a touchdown.
From the Dolphins' 46-yard line.
Math.
Goff from a shotgun brings a man in motion. That's Jameson Williams from right to left. Goff takes the snap, back to pass, steps up in the pocket, looking, and he's going to run and flip it to Amon-Ra. Does he have enough yardage for the first down? He does, and Goff's getting him to spike it here. Clock running, 26 seconds to go. Lions down inside the 40-yard line now with the Dolphins, trailing by 4, 23 seconds to go. 2nd down and 10. Looked like Goff was close to the line of scrimmage there when he flipped that ball to Amon-Ra, who got the first down. Clock stop, 23 to go. Lions down 4.
The only one who's more unstoppable than Amon-Ra St. Brown is Will Birchfield, the 12th.
His kid.
Birchie
brought his kid, and his kid is
unstoppable.
Very, very mobile these days.
He's right. Mobile.
23 seconds to go. Goff back to pass, looking. Thought about it as pass is deflected at the line of scrimmage. He was looking for Khalif deep down the middle, wasn't he?
He was. It looked like it was actually safety help that could have given him some issues there.
Yeah. So clock stopped now with 19 seconds to go. 3rd down for the Detroit Lions. And did they call that a sack before he got rid of the football? I think they might have called it a sack.
Well, it's 3rd and 16, unless it was a penalty for holding or something like that.
So Lions use a timeout to stop the clock. They have none left. 19 seconds to go at the Dolphins' 46-yard line, looking at a 3rd and 16. In this 2-minute drill from Allen Park.
This is very important.
This is a big play.
This is a big play.
All right, so Goff from a shotgun. 2 receivers split to the left, 1 to the right.
Saint is wide right, wide left, and you got Khalif Raymond wide left. And oh,
whistle,
we got a whistle.
Timeout, timeout. Dolphins take a timeout.
Oh, they didn't like the, they didn't like the what they saw.
No, they didn't.
Did not like what they saw.
So as they talk that one through,
I got to tell you, I saw the I think it was the linebacker coach for Miami. Was he a linebacker coach or secondary coach?
Yeah.
Earlier into practice, was incredibly demonstrative and vocal with his team.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was inspiring the team or if he was lighting somebody up for making a mistake.
I don't know either, but there's no question that the Dolphins heard what was said about them. I think they probably said it themselves when they sat down and watched the film.
Well, when you got the national media tweeting out about it, yeah.
Yes. All right, so Lions looking at a third down and 16 from the Dolphins 46, trailing by 4 with 19 seconds to go, and the Lions are out of timeouts.
It's 2-down territory.
It's 4-down territory, right?
Well, I guess you look at it that way. I'm saying they got, you know, if they want to get a little closer.
Well, they got a problem here. They got a problem because they got to get a first down and they got to stop the clock, and they have no timeouts.
This is a problem.
Yep. So
with 19 seconds to go.
Goff back to pass. Got to take a shot here. Looking. Fires over the middle. He's got Amon-Ra over the middle, and he's dragged down at about the 20. That's good for a first down. They're going to have to spike it. There's 9 seconds to go. The Lions line up quickly. Goff takes the snap and spikes it with 5 seconds to go. Trailing by 4. We're going to get one throw into the end zone here, Scott.
We are, Doug. This is interesting. Who is going to trust in this situation with the, about 20 yards to go? 22. What was it, say 26?
26. The ball's on the 26-yard line.
26 yards to go. The options are a little limited in what you're going to have to do because you're likely going to have to throw it in the end zone or throw it close to the end zone. And whether there's some sort of trickery or chicanery or just to get a block downfield to spring somebody.
You could run a short route to the sideline to set up a one, but it'd have to be quick.
Dolphins
are going to be defending the end zone, so you could maybe get 5 yards. In 5 seconds, you could easily get a playoff, but you have to get it out of bounds. All right, Khalif Raymond split wide to the right. In the slot is Shane Zylstra. J-Mo and Amon-Ra split wide left, and that's a direction Goff is looking, and he does go quick pass to J-Mo, who catches it and steps out of bounds with 2 seconds to go. And the ball, we have to see where it's marked. We're in the end zone. It's hard to tell, but I'm going to say it's about the 20-yard line.
It's going to be, I think, 19-yard line.
All right, so one play. Now it's definitely one play.
It's on.
Yep.
It's on.
Lions ones versus Dolphins ones. 2-minute drill starting in their own territory. The Lions have taken it down to the Dolphin 19 with 2 seconds left.
Who you go to?
I go to Amon-Ra, my friend. He split wide to the right. In the slot, both Khalif Raymond and Shane Zylstra. To the left is Jamison Williams. Goff takes the snap back to pass. Looking, he's going to fire, and it is intercepted. Knocked away. It's incomplete at the goal line. I thought it was picked off, but irrelevant. The Lions fail to score in the 2-minute drill.
There's a lot of traffic there. Yep. A couple of Lion receivers were there, kind of, and the ball got there before the receivers did. It's okay.
Yeah.
Last I you know what? It's practice.
Well, it's the Dolphins' turn. We'll have that when we continue here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.